If you would rise with me as you are able for today's scripture lesson, which is taken from the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verses 32 through chapter 5, verse 2. Listen now for the words of the Lord. You may follow along in the blue insert in your bulletin. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Now, I used to enjoy watching the news and keeping up on world events. I confess that I especially used to like watching those political shows on cable news channels. Kind of ashamed to admit that now, actually. Nowadays, when I turn on those shows, I can barely stand to watch. It seems just a bunch of fighting and name calling and one person or group trying to elevate themselves by putting down another. It's not that the shows have gotten worse. They were bad back when I watched them, too. And it's not that our politics has gotten more contentious, although the commentators will tell you that it has, and then, of course, blame it all on the other side. I've read enough early American history to know that contentious politics is kind of in our blood. I've read enough of the Bible to know that being nasty to one another is kind of in our DNA as people. It's always been that way since the beginning of human history. It's our fallen condition. We are a sinful people, and that affects the way we treat one another, the way that we treat our opponents. It affects the condition of our world. Just listen to the news for a few minutes, and you will have every piece of evidence that you need of our sinful nature. It can get to be a bit overwhelming. In fact, if you let it get to you too much, you can begin to wonder, what in the world can I do to make any difference at all? Well, I'm here today to tell you that you can make a difference. We together can make a difference. The Bible tells us throughout that we can make a difference. Our faith convinces us that we can make a difference. So don't give in to the naysayers and the cynicism. Don't chalk it all up to the way things are and the way things always will be. And certainly don't give in to that voice that says, that's the way the world is, just go with it. There's nothing you can do to change it, so just give in and go along. I'm here today to tell you that that voice is the enemy and that those words are a lie. Here is the truth as it comes to us from the Word of God. Paul's letter to the Ephesians, he writes, so I'm telling you this, and I insist on it in the Lord, that you shouldn't live your lives like the Gentiles anymore. Now, when Paul says, like the Gentiles, he's not using that word Gentile as an ethnic term. What he means is basically someone who doesn't know about God and isn't committed to God's ways. What he means is don't live, when he says don't live like the Gentiles, what he means is the same thing as we mean when we say don't live like the world. The world, apart from God, those who live by what just seems natural or right or desirable to themselves, the world is entrapped by sin. What do I mean by entrapped by sin? I mean that when we're not thinking specifically and explicitly about what God wants and intends for us, then we are bound to sin. We will naturally make bad choices, harmful choices, sinful choices, because that's the world we live in. We're surrounded by corruption. We're bombarded with debauchery. We're inflicted with self-interest. Sin is what comes naturally to us. It is the way of the world. So why not just accept it and give in? Because God didn't just accept it and give in. God didn't surrender us to the world. Instead, God surrendered his Son in order to save us and in order to transform the world. We know that we can make a difference because God tells us that we can make a difference. We know that we can be renewed because God sent his own Son to renew us. We know that God can change the world through us because Jesus Christ himself said, "The kingdom of God is among you." We've been in the book of Ephesians this month. We heard already this morning a few verses from the end of chapter 4, the beginning of chapter 5 of that letter. I would remind you that Paul was writing this letter to people living in Ephesus, which was a major metropolitan area. Ephesus was a worldly city. All of the influences, all of the vices, all of the pressures that existed anywhere could easily be found there in Ephesus. Paul was speaking into that context and encouraging the Ephesians to be different from all of that, to rise above all of that. He wanted them to know that there is newness in Christ that wipes away the past and sets us free to a new way of life. The verses that we heard this morning are just a small part of a much larger section toward the end of the letter. And in that section, Paul is giving instructions to the Ephesians about how to live. Now, if you just took that part of the letter by itself, it would seem like a bunch of moralism. Do this, don't do that. But Paul only comes to this advice, as he does in all of his letters, after he's already laid the theological foundation earlier in the letter. First, he tells us what God has done for us in Jesus Christ, and then he tells us how we ought to live because of it. That's important for us to understand because we need to know that these instructions that Paul gives us in the second half of the letter, they're not just instructions telling us to try and be good people. And it's not about trying to do the right thing so that I can work my way into heaven. It's not about deciding to make changes by my own determination and willpower. Rather, it is about living into this new reality that God has already brought forth for us in Jesus Christ by the power of the Spirit of Christ graciously given to us. If we have accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior, then God has already made a change in us. We just have to live into that change. God has already made us new. We just have to act like it. And when we do act like it, when we do live into it, the world is changed because of it. This past week, we had a memorial fish fry here at the church. We were remembering and honoring Bill Brownie Brown, who died recently, who was so beloved in this church, had such an impact here in this place and in this community. Well, during that fish fry, someone told me a story about Brownie. I won't say who told it to me because I haven't had the opportunity to verify the story, so I don't know if it's true, and I don't want to get someone else in trouble if it's not. But I do want to share the story because I think it illustrates the point that I'm trying to make. According to the story, Brownie claimed that earlier in his life he hadn't always been the nicest guy. But apparently God got a hold of him during the tornado of 1974. Seems that Bill saw the tornado coming, and he got his kids and the neighbor's kids together in the house and into the safest spot that he could find in the house. He was terrified. He had seen that tornado. He knew what kind of deadly destruction it was doing. And he knew it was headed towards them. He prayed then and there and promised God that if God got them through this, he was going to shape up and be a much nicer guy from now on. Well, sure enough, that tornado went all the way around their neighborhood, and everybody in his house was safe and protected. And Brownie, being a man of his word, was transformed by that event. Now, as I say, I haven't verified that story. If it's not true, I pray that Brownie will forgive me. But if there is any truth to it, and I'm sure many of you have known people in similar situations, similarly transformed by an act of God, you know that it isn't just that one person that is affected, but so many other lives that are touched and impacted because of it. Just think about how many people were here this week honoring Brownie because of what a kind, compassionate, helpful, giving man he was. And if all of us became more kind, compassionate, helpful, giving in the process, well, those ripples just keep going out and making a difference, bringing a change. You've probably heard this story before of a little girl that was walking along the beach just after the tide had gone out. There were hundreds of starfish that had washed up on the shore. They were in danger of drying out and dying. And as the little girl walked along, she picked one up and threw it back into the ocean. And then she did it with another one, and then with another one. An adult, seeing the girl throw the starfish, asked her what she was doing. And she answered, "I'm saving the starfish from dying." And the adult looked around and saw the hundreds of starfish on the beach and said, "But there are so many, you can't possibly make a difference." Undeterred, the faithful little girl picked up another starfish, threw it into the ocean, and said, "It made a difference for that one." Made a difference for that one. Have you made a difference for someone today? I'm sure that you have. Some of you may not think so. You may not realize it, but I want you to know something, and I want you to hear me on this. And if you don't remember anything else that I say today, I hope that you remember this. Just the simple fact of your presence here this morning makes a difference. You being here with these other people in this act of worship makes a difference. Think about that girl on the beach. She couldn't make a difference for all of those starfish on the beach, but she sure could make a difference for some. Now imagine someone else deciding to come along and join her. And then someone else. And then someone else. As more and more people come together for a united purpose, the impact multiplies. That's kind of what Paul was getting at when he talked about wanting the many being united in Christ. That's why we've been using his letter to the Ephesians for our Back to Church month, as we look at this theme of together. United by God in Christ, together we find peace. United by Christ's grace, together we experience love. bound together by Christ's Spirit, we grow stronger, united in purpose and empowered by Christ. Together we can change the world, one life at a time, person by person, ripples going out, others joining in. Our presence together in this place, your presence here in this act of worship, makes a difference because it says to the world, there is a different way. All of the bitterness and jealousy and pride and deceit, all of these things that are so prevalent in our society, all of these forces that try to drag us down, we are here joining our voices and our witness together, proclaiming that that will not define us. We are committing ourselves to a different way of being. We are putting off the old and embracing the new person Christ is making us into. In this section of Ephesians that we're looking at today, Paul describes some of the old ways of the world that we're supposed to put aside, like stripping off our old, muddy, torn-up clothes. And then he talks about putting on the new things, like forgiveness, patience, trust, love. He says we wrap ourselves in these things like fresh, clean clothes, and we live in the newness. And then at the beginning of chapter 5, in those verses that we heard read earlier, he tells us this: imitate God like dearly loved children. Live your life with love, following the example of Christ who loved us and gave himself for us. Imitate God. Imitate God. That will look quite different than the average person out there living by their self-interested standards of the world. Imitate God. That level of love, that kind of self-giving, that's something that we can't do that on our own. We need to be in God's word. We need to be in worship. We need to be in study together. We need to be surrounded by a community of faith who are all striving together to imitate God. That's why your presence here matters. That's why your presence in this church makes a difference. You've probably heard this story before, too, and if I'm here long enough, you'll hear it again. A preacher was going out making calls on people who hadn't been to church in a while, try and get them back. He came to the home of one man who tried to turn him away. He said, "You don't need to bother. I know why you're here, and it's no use." Well, the preacher asked if he could come in anyway, so the man invited him in. They sat down together. There was a nice warm fire going in the fireplace, and as they sat by the fire, the man told the preacher why he didn't see any need in coming to church. He had his Bible. He had his faith. He could pray on his own. He could listen to preachers online. "I don't need to be around a bunch of other people to be a Christian," he said. Well, the preacher just sat, listened while the man talked. He didn't say a word. When it seemed that the man had finally said his piece, the preacher reached over to the fireplace, took hold of the tongs and stuck them into the fire, grabbed hold of one of the fiery embers, pulled it out of the fire and set it on the hearthstones in front of the fireplace, away from the fire. Both of the men sat there in silence as they watched the fire in the separate ember quickly go out. The rest of the fire blazed on. The ember that had been removed from the fire went from a bright orange to a dull red, and only moments later was a grayish brown. It had gone out completely. With that, the man said, "Preacher, I get your point. I'll see you in church next Sunday." The fact is, we need each other to keep the fire going. We can only do so much on our own, but together we can change the world. So don't be discouraged when you turn on the news. Don't be disheartened when you hear people say how bad things are getting. We have a God who is bigger than all of that. We have a Savior who has redeemed us from that. We have been called to a different way. We have been made anew. We have been given the gift of this faith community to keep the fire of faith alive in us, to keep us in God's path, to help us imitate God as we see God reflected in one another. And as this community of faith joins with other communities of faith, and still others come on board, all united by the grace of God in Jesus Christ, all united in the purpose of making God known to this world, together we can. And more than that, together we will. Change the world. By the grace of God, may it be so. Amen.